answers in Genesis.
Ark Encounter, the Creation Museum. Both are more than just family destinations. They're resources to help you and your family deepen your understanding of the Bible. Wesley Wildman and Tony Battagliano are taking that to another level with AFA at the Ark. October 31st through November 2nd, you'll get to learn from special presentations and a live panel discussion with Wesley and Tony. For all the details, visit afa.net/events today and click AFA at the Ark.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Good morning, Tim.
You fellas, were y'all on Monday through Thursday last week?
Yeah. I was on Monday through Friday.
Through Friday.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, I mean, who was with you, Ray?
Ray was some... Chris, Steve, Chris.
Yeah. I was out.
Yes.
The reason I'm asking, just make sure y'all did the show.
We did.
Okay. It would have been bad to have an hour and a half of just silence on here. Huh?
Well, that one day now, all of us, we just went to Cracker Barrel.
I wondered, when
the cat's away, the mice will play.
Yeah.
No, we did the show. We did our due diligence.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's good to be back. A little family vacation. To the beach.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned we go down to Destin, Florida, but I mentioned in devotion here this morning that, of course, there's 10 grandchildren we have, and so three families plus Allison and me. And sometimes we think we need to take a big, grand educational vacation. You know, we need
take the kids to a museum.
Yeah, we need to go hit a couple museums or go to here or there and discover and see and you know, and then you go like, no.
Not at the age that your grandkids are.
Yes, yeah, maybe later.
Yeah.
Those days will come later. But right now it's just like with Rugrats and stuff, you just say, no. For a vacation, we just want to go to the beach and dump them in the sand.
Yes. Well, we sit under a tent or something.
Yes, and don't move.
Yeah. Right.
Just watch them and have fun. Yeah. And so anyway, we had a great week down on the Gulf Coast. That's really a beautiful. It's really a beautiful place. From I was talking to y'all, Fred, about this morning. From all the way from Orange Beach, Alabama, all the way down to Panama City Beach, and I know there's other places along the Gulf Coast, but that's really the main destination for vacationers in the summer from much of the country. I say much of the country. They probably, that area I just described from the Alabama coast to Panama City Beach, I'm guessing they draw from.
Probably all of the middle of the country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see a lot of Minnesota tags, Wisconsin tags down there.
Oh, yeah.
And they go, like, starting in January.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah, it's cold up north. Yeah.
Destin in January looks a whole lot better than Minnesota in January.
Or Minnesota in February or March or April.
It's really beautiful, that drive. We're talking about, Fred and I were talking about, the drive from Orange Beach. We drove from Orange Beach, Gulf Shores area, all the way over to Destin. Just to drive the coastline there.
Mm.
It's really beautiful. And then in Pensacola, they got the Naval Station.
Yes.
And the
home of the Blue Angels.
Blue Angels.
Mm. Yes. Yeah.
So, it's a beautiful part of a country if you've never been. Most people have been, but it's really.
And if you're looking for really good beaches.
You
cannot beat that.
Yeah, no.
I mean, the East Coast, you know, Myrtle Beach and area, those are very nice.
Yes, yes.
But the water in Destin, Navarre, those places, Gulf Shores.
It's like the Caribbean.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's just absolutely beautiful. Just clear clear water. It's real, and beautiful colors. Call it the Emerald Coast.
Yes.
Anyway, so back to the real world. Did anything happen while I was gone?
Nah. Ed was totally bored. We talked hockey for what?
We did.
Ed isn't bored by hockey.
No,
I'll tell you that. He's,
I'm not. My team's out, so yeah. I have adjusted to that reality.
Right.
And you know, I'll check my phone 2-3 times a day, see if there any trades happen, and I'll do that from now until October. Right. And you know,
that's the thing with sports is there's always next year.
That's right.
Right.
It can always get better.
But there will be a Canadian team in the NHL finals.
Yes.
For the first time in a while?
Oh.
Yeah, a long time.
What?
The Edmonton Oilers, huh?
Yeah, are playing the Florida Panthers, and that is going to represent the furthest distance between two NHL finals teams, I think, in league history. Hmm. So you play two games in Florida, then you got to fly all the way to Edmonton for two games, and then back, and then back, and then back.
There's three words that don't go together,
right.
Bar from Jeff Foxworthy.
Yeah.
That's what he used to say. He said, there's two words that don't go together, NASA and Alabama.
Right.
Anyway, I didn't say that.
Jeff Foxworthy did.
Jeff Foxworthy
right, blame him.
He makes fun of his own people. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But the three words that don't go together for me, really, it's hard to – is Florida and ice hockey.
Yes. And there's two teams.
Yeah.
Two Florida teams in the
Florida.
NHL.
Mm-hmm. It just seems something doesn't seem right in the universe if a team from Florida can win the hockey championship.
And they may do it. They're favored.
They may do it.
Well, half of Florida is snowbirds.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. All the people who move down, mm-hmm. they big fans of hockey. So, yep. All right, Fred, what's your first? Well, before we do that, Ed, how can people watch us on the internet? And we're streaming on X now, too, right?
Yes. So there are a number of ways you can watch the live video stream for this program and others on American Family Radio. You can go to Facebook and search for Today's Issues. You can go to YouTube and search for Today's Issues Live. You can go to our own streaming platform, stream.afa.net. You can also go to X, formerly known as Twitter, search for American Family Radio, and then you can catch the live video feed. By the way, before we move forward, Tim, with your permission, I mentioned stream.afa.net. We have something that we want you to check out coming up this Thursday. Now, American Family Studios has produced a series of videos called AFA at Home. These are hosted by Walker Weilman. These address the cultural and spiritual issues facing America from the perspective of leading Christian voices. Here this Thursday, June 6th at 6 p.m. Central Time, AFA at Home Episode 5 will air. And you can watch the trailer by creating a free account at stream.afa.net. And by creating that free streaming account now, you'll have immediate access to the full episode coming up this Thursday, June 6th.
What episode is that?
This is AFA AFA at Home Episode 5.
It's a reality show.
Right? No.
No.
We will address reality, though.
Yes.
We're going to be addressing the LGBTQ plus issue from a biblical perspective without hesitation or apology. Guests include Tim Weilman, M.D. Yeah. Perkins. I'll be on there. Fred Jackson will be on there. And Abraham Hamilton III. So it's kind of a conversational format. And we encourage you to go to stream.afa.net. If you don't already have an account, it is free to set up, and you'll be able to watch AFA at Home, Episode 5, this Thursday night.
All right, Fred, first story.
All right. President Biden's son, Hunter Biden, is in a courtroom this morning in Wilmington, Delaware. And it is a case that involves a purchase he made of a gun back in 2018. And at the time, according to a book that Hunter Biden wrote about his life, he was in the throes of crack addiction. Thus, he finds himself in court because in order to get a license for said gun, one of the aspects of that license is you cannot have been involved with drugs, addicted to drugs. Well, as Fox legal analyst Greg Jarrett put it this morning in an interview, the fact that Hunter Biden wrote a book around that time admitting he was in the throes of drug addiction is kind of going to play against him at this trial that he's involved with. Here's Greg Jarrett, cut number 9.
He wrote a book explaining in detail how he was a drug addict the exact time that he bought a gun and then allegedly lied about it. So he incriminated himself, and it was incredibly foolish to cash in by peddling a book about your addiction when you know you're under criminal investigation for an addiction-related crime.
Well, there you have it. Yeah, he wrote the book despite that. I think probably when he wrote the book, also he figured he was going to get away with this, because at some point up until last July, there was a plan to drop all the charges to a misdemeanor, and that he was going to walk away from this. If he behaved himself for 2 years, then the charges would be dropped on the gun charges. However, that deal went before a judge. She happens to be Judge Mary Ellen Noreika, and who happened to be appointed by Donald Trump when he was president. She started looking at this agreement, and she read the fine print as it was, and she said, I'm not going to go along with this. If I agree to this, this guy is going to walk from any future charge, because there's another big case in California involving tax evasion that's coming up. So she said, no, I'm not going to sign off on this. Then there was another special prosecutor who was appointed by the Attorney General of the United States, and he has decided now to go ahead with these charges, which include transferring that gun that Hunter Biden had across state lines, which is another federal charge. This sounds like a soap opera, I know. The other son of the president, Beau, who died back several years ago, his wife, his widow, had an affair with Hunter Biden, and she may be called in as a prosecution witness because she, according to reports, threw that gun in a dumpster somewhere. So this is going to be an interesting case. What happened this morning is the beginning of jury selection in this. And by the way, the First Lady of the United States, Jill Biden, is sitting in the courtroom as well.
Yeah, in order to legally purchase a firearm in this country, you have to fill out a federal background check.
Yes.
And it asks you questions. And one of those questions is about your relationship to illegal drugs. And that is the form on which Hunter Biden allegedly lied on. And so we will see. You know, usually federal gun charges are pretty serious felonies.
Mm-hmm.
So we will see whether or not he gets convicted. And with Jill Biden in the courtroom, I'm sure. Well, I mean, he is Hunter's mother. You certainly understand.
He is? Her,
I mean, she is Hunter Biden's stepmother.
Uh-huh.
That's true. So you could at least excuse that and say, well, I am supporting my stepson. But to me, it looks like there's a little bit of pressure being put on the proceedings where you have the First Lady sitting in.
Yeah, and this court case is being held in Delaware, and the Biden name is pretty well known in,
right,
in Delaware. So he could get up to 25 years, the penalties, and each count carries a maximum fine of $250,000 and 3 years of supervised release. So pretty serious case.
Right.
I'll be watching that to see what happens there. That should take, I'm thinking that's a week, maybe 2 weeks. Is this a jury, or is this a...
It's a jury.
It's a jury trial.
Jury's being dealt with.
It's a jury trial?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, we'll see what happens there. That guy's life has been a wreck.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know how else to say it. He's just been, you know, hopefully somebody, he'll find the Lord.
Right.
And get his life changed eternally. But his life so far, is what's publicly known about it, through that laptop and addictions and all these things that he's been, you know what I'm saying? It's been a mess.
Right.
So what is he? Is he 55? How old is he? 50?
Not sure.
I will look that up, sir.
Hunter Biden.
Hunter Biden.
See how old he is, Hunter Biden. I'm guessing he may be 55.
He's 54.
Okay.
You're just about spot on there.
54.
What do you guys think? I don't think he'll spend a day in jail. I mean, he could have up to 25 years in prison.
Here's what I would ask about a situation like that. To your question is, because you wonder what the question is, will Hunter Biden be shown leniency and favoritism because his dad is president of the United States? That's the question everybody.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's the rich and powerful people have the ability to hire lawyers.
Right.
And that are top tier and can get them off of what otherwise would be.
If they're going against a prosecutor or district attorney who's not on that level.
Yeah.
In smaller communities and stuff.
But I would just say, back to my thing. On issues like that, I would say compare what sentence he is given to what the norm is.
Yeah.
If there are comparable. There are comparable. Okay, people don't go to prison hardly anymore for anything. Or jail. I mean,
not
hardly.
In big cities they don't.
Not in big cities. No. So we'll see what happens here with that situation. But now a convicted felon having a gun is a serious matter, right?
Was he a convicted felon at the time?
Well, he was on drugs.
He was on drugs.
Yes. And that's the issue.
Oh, okay. My apologies. The charge was he's drug addicted.
Confessed
drug addiction. When you do that, you waive your right to possession of a firearm.
Yeah. On the form that you fill out.
Yeah.
The background check. You have to admit.
That's the violation.
Yes.
He lied.
He lied on that.
He lied on the application to get a gun, saying he was not had an addiction.
And that's what Gray Jarrett is saying, because in his book, he says he was on drugs.
He'll probably be, he's not going to confess to, is he confessing to it or he's going to fight it?
Well, he's fighting it.
He's not guilty?
But, he's pleading not guilty. But how do you get away from that when you're a self-confess?
He won't.
Well, here's a strategy.
Yeah.
Someone mentioned this in our story meeting. I don't know if they were just joking.
Yeah. Well, one of the analysts was saying this morning, one of the possible defenses was that I was so high on drugs, I made a mistake.
I didn't even know I was lying.
When I was filling out the form.
Now, how about that?
Sorry, that's not funny.
I can see that working.
I was so high, Your Honor.
I didn't realize.
I didn't even know what I was doing.
I didn't even realize I was lying on the federal form.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
People use that kind of defense. Now, this is just something that was kicked around, obviously. I don't know if that's going to be their actual defense for Hunter Biden. But we've all read stories where a drunk driver kills a family or something.
Right.
Tragic. And they say, I was not
in my right mind
because I was drunk.
Well,
so, you know.
Yeah. I know.
You never know what a jury is going to decide, especially in Delaware.
Yeah. Delaware? Why Delaware? you mean because it's...
That's where
the Bidens are from?
That's where the trial is.
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, what's...
Well, that's where the Bidens are from. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Next story, Fred.
Well, speaking of the rich and famous, they don't always get away with what they're charged with. And that is, of course, the former president found guilty on 34 charges, federal charges, in a New York court. Well, on the weekend, the former president gave his first official interview, that with Fox and Friends on the weekend, and he talked about those convictions and the deck that was stacked against him. Cut number two.
This is your first interview since the verdict. It's been 48 hours. Where's your head at?
Well, look, you know, I'm fighting for the Constitution. I'm fighting for the same thing that you three, I watch you all the time, and same thing that you do. You fight for freedom. You fight for your country. These people are sick. They're sick. They're deranged. I talk about the enemy on the outside and the enemy from within. Say, you have Russia, you have China. But if you have a smart president, you always handle him quite easily, actually. We have a lot of advantages. But the enemy from within, they are doing damage to this country.
Well, he his basically thrust when he's responding to this, he says, it's really not about me, it's about you, speaking to the public. He is saying, if the Justice Department, which he believes is very corrupt, can get away with this, they'll come after you as well, you being his supporters.
Well, this wasn't the Justice Department, though.
Well,
it's the state of New York.
Well, he argues it all came down from the Justice Department. That's what he argued.
He's been arguing that the Biden family was behind this.
Yes, yes.
Because Alvin Bragg had gone to the White House.
Alvin Bragg had meetings at the White House at times when the Attorney General.
Yeah, nobody knows.
The Attorney General was present, and obviously Joe Biden was there. So, I mean, those are the arguments that the former president is making right now.
I think Alvin Bragg, the DA for Manhattan, would have gone after Trump whether he ever knew Joe Biden or not. Because he hates Trump anyway. I'm talking about by his own words, his own admission in the past. I say hate. He made it a campaign issue. I was going to right. Is that right?
Right. No, that's true. He did, and so did Letitia James.
I don't think he did any encouragement or not from.
But that Trump, explains why Trump has tied it to the Justice Department and the Biden administration. He thinks they're all in cahoots.
Yes.
Yes, it is true. Alvin Bragg got elected on a platform essentially of I'll get Trump.
That was one of his issues.
One of his issues. So I this is why Trump is saying that all these folks are the same and they represent a threat to the rest of us.
But Alvin Bragg initially said he wasn't going to bring this case to court.
Right.
But that's the other suspicion that the Biden administration, the Biden Justice Department got involved. And so then Alvin Bragg changed his mind, and it also up, there's so much involved here, also up to federal charges. One of the things that apparently that Trump lawyers are going to use on appeal is that this judge had no jurisdiction over federal charges. Or federal crimes. So there's there. There's now
he has just the process itself, though, Fred, just the next step for the Trump legal team would be to appeal this to the state Supreme Court of New York. Do you know?
I think both. I think the things that I've heard and things that I've read are that you can appeal at the same time. You can appeal. You can skip the federal district court level on the federal side and go right to an appellate court. So a circuit court of appeals in the federal jurisdiction. And you can appeal this in New York. And I'm not sure what the appellate process is in the state of New York.
So you would be dual appealing both federal and to a federal court and to a
State appellate. I'm not sure if they – I'm sure they – I don't think you can go right to the New York court of Supreme Court.
Meanwhile, he has sentencing, though.
Yes, July the 11th, which is just 4 or 5 days before the convention.
Yes.
So I think that the appellate process probably will be expedited in this situation.
I think that's what you would ask for.
Yes.
That would be in the best interest of the country.
Yeah.
I think to go ahead and have the appeal heard, you think?
Well, the next thing also is if the judge is going to lift the gag order, because that gag order is still in place. And so Trump has reacted strongly since then, but I don't think he'll hold back at all once that gag order is released. I mean, he could.
What has he held back? I hadn't heard him hold back. Huh? Deranged, and I mean, he's been saying pretty much what he wants to.
I think where he has been particularly restricted, he wasn't allowed to say anything about the witnesses, which include Michael Cohen,
or the jury,
Yeah.
Well, I would say it would be better for President Trump not to talk about the jury.
Right.
If he wants to talk about the witnesses or the story, that's one thing. But I wouldn't talk about the jury or dox them or anything like that. I wouldn't do that. All right, we'll take a timeout right here. We'll be back with more of today's issues after this short timeout. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This June marks 2 years since the overturn of Roe v. Wade. But did you know that the number of abortions actually increased the following year? In 2023, the amount of abortions reached its highest level since 2012. Preborn continues to stand strong for women in crisis. Preborn is a ministry of compassion that showers women and babies with God's love, providing free ultrasounds to mothers to introduce them to the precious life growing inside of them. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation will also help to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. So please, give your best gift. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. If you want to send us an email, the address is comments@AFR.net. comments@AFR.net is our email address. We do podcast this show as we do all the shows here on American Family Radio. So if you miss our program and you want to go back and listen to it, our show here, Today's Issues, is available like, an hour and a half after we finish doing it. So check out the podcast. Just go to AFR.net, click on podcast, and then any of our programs here you can go and listen to on demand through the podcast. So Tim, Ed, and Fred here, we thank you for listening to American Family Radio on this Monday, June. I failed to mention this. People don't even know what day it is because they depend on me to tell
them.
That's
right.
And I was out for a week, and you forget to do these things. Monday, June the 3rd, 2024. It's hard to believe it's already June.
That's right.
Really is hard to believe it's already June. So
close to halfway through 2024.
Yeah.
And it's only going to speed up as we get closer to the election.
Reason I like June is because you have long days. And as someone who enjoys golfing and just swimming and the outdoors, right. I love 8:30
right
for nighttime.
Right up to June 21st.
Huh?
And then the days get short.
Oh, that's right. Is that the longest day of the year?
June
that's
21st.
Summer. Official yes. day of summer.
Yes.
I bet in Nova Scotia, where you're from, Fred, it stays light till 10 probably.
Because you're further north. You know, we're talking about Edmonton.
Yeah.
When I was doing pilot training, I did land survival in late May, early June. And we were
This is for the Canadian Air Force.
Canadian Air Force. And we were based for a short time up in Edmonton. And no kidding, getting up at 5 in the morning, and we were in barracks that didn't have any windows.
Yeah.
You go outside at 5 in the morning, and you're hit with sunshine.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing that time of the year. Of course.
Well, then that would mean there's only, 5 or 6 hours of darkness?
Yeah, yeah. It's just.
If that much?
I remember coming home, we'd go to a restaurant in town, and we come at 11 o'clock at night, and you could still see some brightness mm-hmm. on the horizon. That's how short it is. And then 5 o'clock in the morning, bright sunshine.
So when the sun finally did go down,
yes.
and it was nighttime, you would say, "Hello, darkness, my old friend." So you
can. Yeah. No, I think he would say, "Don't let the sun go down on me."
Yes.
It is really strange.
Yeah, and now I feel compelled to sing that song, Simon and Garfunkel's song. No, I won't do that to you, folks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, Fred, what's your next story there?
Well, from that to something serious, June is Gay Pride Month.
Really?
We need to be praying for federal employees, especially because they get this month imposed on them. Various federal departments, Todd Starnes put something out this morning. He had a report that in one VA facility in Florida, I think he said it was, they took down the American flag and put up the Pride flag inside this VA facility. This is the kind of junk that our and particularly our military people.
Force-fed.
Oh, man.
Huh? Yeah, gay. Is it called Gay and Lesbian Pride Month?
I think it's just called Pride Month.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's called LGBTQ Pride. I do want to make mention of the fact, if I can just jump on this particular issue. Folks, most of you probably know, but American Family Association has what we call action alerts, where we try to engage our supporters, get them active. And we have a new one out. You can go to afa.net. It is front and center there. And this action alert is a petition to Walmart CEO Doug McMillon because Walmart has gone all out, so to speak, for Pride Month.
How so?
Well, Walmart here over Memorial Day weekend. Now, Randy Sharp, who's director of our special projects, said that he checked Walmart's social media all weekend long, and on Memorial Day weekend, they had nothing about Memorial Day and the reason for it, or the reason for that awareness all weekend long. But they did have several ads on social media promoting quote unquote gay pride merchandise online. Randy also said last year AFA complained to Walmart for the store displays. So if you go to afa.net, click on the action alert, we are asking people to sign petition to the CEO of Walmart and to ask them not to have all this merchandise online, or especially in their stores, for Pride Month.
Why do we care whether they have Pride Month or not?
Well, because we ask that corporations simply remain neutral on these culture war activities. We ask them to not take sides and to not promote from a Christian perspective, is an immoral lifestyle. Because Target got in trouble with this last summer.
Right.
Children go into these stores, they see all that, it is confusing for kids, and it makes them think that this is a legitimate lifestyle before Almighty God, and it is, and it's not. So we ask people to take a stand and to let companies like Walmart know that we just want them to be neutral and not promote this lifestyle. So AFA.net, we're asking you to sign the petition for this.
Yeah, I was mentioning about our military people in particular. And there's a story, I think, Tim, you may have sent this out on the weekend, dailymail.co.uk. And the headline is, Navy SEALs are accused of going woke after Pride post sparks backlash. And basically, the post on the official page of the Naval Special Warfare Command, where they outline their values. Well, they apparently changed it, and in this story, the dignity, service, respect, equality, pride is their qualities, but it's all in rainbow colors. They've changed it for this month in rainbow colors. This is just an example of what's being imposed on our military. Pete Hegseth is one of the co-hosts on Fox and Friends. He is ex-military, retired from the military. But he says the military has been totally corrupted with wokeness. Cut number 7.
Where it found the best and the brightest who were able to exact the most lethality on the enemy with the most latitude possible to win wars. So we're going to insert things like CRT and DEI, like women in combat. We're going to weaponize LGBT issues. China's building a military specifically designed to defeat us, and our defense industry, because of our generals who've given into ideologues, is focused on climate change.
Yeah, that's our military today. And then Hegseth told a very disturbing story. He says during the inauguration of President Biden, He, at the time, was part of the D.C. National Guard Reserve, and he was supposed to be part of the security detail, but apparently he has, Pete Hegseth has a Christian tattoo on his shoulder, and he was told, no, you're rejected by this detail, basically describing him because he has this Christian tattoo, I think it was a cross, that he was basically considered an extremist, a danger, and you couldn't be part of it. Here's Pete Hegseth explaining this, cut number 8.
I was in the National Guard during the inauguration of Joe Biden. So I'd served under Bush, served under Obama, served under Trump, and now was going to guard the inauguration because I was in the D.C. Guard. And it's a long story. You can get it all in chapter 6 of this book. But ultimately, members of my unit in leadership deemed that I was an extremist or a white nationalist because of a tattoo I have, which is a religious tattoo. It's a Jerusalem cross. Everybody can look it up. But it was used as a premise to revoke my orders to guard the inauguration.
Was it really about a tattoo?
Well, that's exactly right. Was it because I'm a Trump supporter? Was it because I'm a, you know, patriot extremist, which is another label they use? Maybe it's because I work at Fox News.
A patriot extremist, which is apparently a phrase that's being used now, if you're a patriot.
Well, and you wonder why the U.S. military is having a hard time recruiting,
right?
In their recruiting numbers, which are way down.
Mm-hmm.
That's been except for maybe one branch. I don't know. I remember we've all seen these numbers,
right?
Yes,
and there's multiple reasons for that, but among the chief ones is this woke garbage. That's being pushed down the throats of our servicemen and women.
Uh-huh.
And combine that with the fact that a large percentage of these military personnel and potential recruits are from conservative families.
Yep.
They're military families.
Military families.
Generational.
So, and there, it's that's stopping. That's stopping. Now, here's the thing why this is so insidious. This you combine that with the way they were kicked out over the COVID vaccine?
Yes.
That's another reason the numbers are way down.
Right.
Then you're going to – that's going to show up on the battlefield, so to speak, and literally sometime down the future. I'm afraid – you know what I'm saying? Now,
yeah, the fear is we will lose a major war.
I think warfare today is fought more and more with technology and smart bombs and all these things. I mean, but you see, like in Ukraine and other places, you do have to have on the ground forces to fight.
You got to have boots on the ground if you want to hold and keep land. I would also add to the things that I think the very real reasons you're talking about, Tim, I would say that the generation that is youngest, that is of military age, they have, for the most part, come through schooling that has not taught patriotism, that has
bingo,
that has taught that our nation is illegitimate. And when people do not feel like their country is important or legitimate,
right,
why would they defend it with their lives? And so a lot of them are not signing up. I think I have read that. I don't know what the percentages are for, you know, this reason,
right,
is this percentage, this reason, that percentage. But I would have to say that that is a very dire situation and trend. Young people coming out of schooling and going, I hate this country. I'm not defending it.
Back to the original story here, though. There are a lot. The story, which we have posted on our Today's Issues Facebook page, which I saw in the Daily Mail last night, is about former United States Navy SEALs speaking out against the, head honchos. Is that for public, you know, I guess that's slang, but of the military who oversee the Navy SEALs, and they're forcing this LGBT pride stuff on the Navy SEALs.
Yep.
Currently, right?
Yep. And it's happening right across the federal government. I know we've done stories in the past where during this month, staff members in various federal departments are forced to go to seminars to sensitize them, as they say, into accepting, basically, the homosexual.
Taught to go woke.
Yeah, taught to go woke and not to criticize, being intimidated. Don't you dare say a word negative about Gay Pride Month. So all of this is happening. That's why, as I say, federal employees.
I think the average person out there, not necessarily religious conservatives like we are and most of our listeners are, but I just think the average person out there is getting tired of this.
Oh, yeah.
Because how much pride does a group need? I mean, yay.
Yeah.
Do we need to, every year for a month, do we have to clap because somebody says I'm gay?
Yeah.
I'm lesbian.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I'm clapping for you because, you know,
you're so brave.
You need affirmation.
Right. Yeah.
You know, we have one day for Memorial Day. They get a month.
Right.
Well, we have one day for every major national holiday.
But they get a month.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's just.
And it'd be one thing if it was just a month that they celebrated as a community, but everybody celebrates it. Walmart.
Yeah.
Well, who would have thought this 10, 15 years ago? So all the corporations celebrate it. You got this Biden administration celebrating it.
Allison and I, my wife, we enjoy some of the shows on HGTV. I know I just turned in my man card.
No. I know where you're going with this.
Okay. But last night she said, I don't think we're going to be able to watch in June. I said, why? She said, I've watched today and every single show is about gays.
Yeah.
Gays and lesbians, remodeling, renting house. It's Pride Month on HG. And I'm going like, because it's just like, why does that matter on buying a house or remodeling our house or doing something related?
Because they're teaching the ignorant masses, Tim, that two men are no different than a man and a woman who are married. That's what they're teaching.
Yeah. But otherwise, you would just watch a show and you go, why do you have to make a point? I know what you're saying is true. Uh-huh. But why do you feel like you have to make a point of somebody's sexuality in a show that has nothing to do with that?
Uh-huh. You know, because they are making
shows that have,
they're adding to their woke bank account.
Yeah.
Guess what we did all month in June?
Huh?
It's. Listen, I'm with you and Allison.
Yay!
Yeah.
You're gay.
Yeah.
I mean, we're supposed to clap all month.
Well, I'm not. No. You've clapped twice on the
program.
I
have clapped twice. I just like, really, I mean, most, you know, anyway, go ahead, Fred.
Well, isn't that why Candace Cameron Bure, she quit HGTV?
No, I think she quit the Hallmark channel.
Was it Hallmark because of this wokeness?
Yeah.
And she's on some other channel now. She does movies somewhere else.
Yeah. Oh, it's everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. You can't escape it. Hardly anywhere.
I will say to what you said earlier, to your point, I do think the average person gets tired of it. I know there was a dust up. I'm not trying to drive the conversation back to the NHL, but this past year when the Philadelphia Flyers, this might have been last year, I don't remember. Philadelphia Flyers said, we're not doing Pride Night because they had several Christian hockey players who were from Europe. I was embarrassed for the United States-born hockey players who said, we're not wearing the rainbow uniforms during warm-up. And so the Philadelphia team said, well, to avoid having a big thing, we're just not going to have Pride Night. And when I would read articles about this, the first couple of comments would be criticisms of the Flyers, the Philadelphia team, for doing this. But then the flood started. And because of the language these people were using, I don't think there were many Christians in it. But they said, I don't care what someone does in the privacy of their own home. I don't want it shoved in my face.
That's what most Americans think, I believe.
And I think that's
you just described.
Growing. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're fed up with it. But also a growing concern about how our little kids, elementary school,
high
school,
it's
being imposed on them.
Yes. And the transgender movement
Oh yeah,
has sparked a lot of this, what we're talking about, towards the whole Pride Month thing, because that's exactly what you're exactly right, Fred. Most people are fair-minded. They don't want homosexual teenagers thrown into lockers or given swirlies in the boys' bathroom. They don't. They're opposed to that,
right.
And rightly so.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they don't want little kids being told, you know what, little girl,
that's
you
right.
might be a boy.
Yeah.
Maybe you should try dressing like one. That's where people draw the line, and they lump that transgender movement in with all the other letters.
Yes.
In the LGBTQ pride push, and that, I think, has undercut their momentum.
Next story, Fred.
Story out of New York City this morning.
New York City?
New York City. Two police officers wounded. A guy who has been identified because this suspect now has been wounded, but already being reported. Guess what? He is from Venezuela. He entered this country illegally.
Oh, you're gonna you're gonna see a lot more of that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. However, that to introduce this next story. Tomorrow, the President of the United States, Joe Biden, is going to issue an executive order. He says he has to do this because he can't get Republicans to cooperate with him on securing the southern border. So he says he has to take executive action. But here's the executive action he's apparently going to sign into as an order tomorrow. He's going to say, we're only going to allow 4,000 a day into the country. We're going to keep it down to 4,000 a day. Now, that's the policy.
Is he really going to use that number?
Yes, 4,000 a day maximum.
Or what? Or what? Is he going to say what happens if you go 4,001?
No. Oh, no. No, 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 no.
This is all window dressing.
This
nothing's going to stop.
For the election.
It's for the election because
election interference.
After the economy, border security in all these polling is showing this a big concern amongst people. But they're going to try to turn it around and saying, oh, the president's being forced to do something all on his own. No, the president did something all on his own. The first days in office, he stopped everything that the former President Trump was doing to secure our southern border.
Yeah, and this is why the tactic for the Biden administration, as the news continued of this the border catastrophe, to erode support for President Biden, because this is up so high on the list of what's important to people. That's why their first tactic was to blame Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, none of this would have happened if Republicans had just given us the money we had asked for. And so now they will continue that argument while they say, well, the president is doing everything he can to stop, to deal with this problem.
Well, in conjunction with this story, and Tim, I think you sent this out over the weekend, over 350,000 illegals have had their immigration court cases dismissed, allowing them to go free without a verdict on the merits of their entry. And the reason apparently is, well, we can't find any record that they've ever committed any violent crimes, so let's just let them go.
Wasn't that one federal judge?
Yes. It's a top immigration custom enforcement advisor, Carrie Doyle.
No, not a judge.
Circulated a memo in 2022 instructing prosecutors to dismiss cases for illegals who are not found to be national security threats. That according to a New York Post story.
Yeah.
Just let them go.
I'll just be blunt here. If America wants to continue to be flooded with illegals from around the world, which will eventually collapse our system, then vote for Joe Biden in November, if that's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to have law and order at the border of the United States, if that matters to you, then you have to vote for Trump in November.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that's going to stop this, because
right.
Now, you know, I'm not Democrat, Republican in the issue here, although I could. I'm just talking about the actions of the president of the United States, which is the CEO of our country, which has authority over our borders, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Biden, despite this malarkey, to borrow from him, that they're trying to promote now what he's going to, whatever this executive order is. All this is, all that is for, to try to limit the damage of his open border policy over the last 3.5 years. So it doesn't affect him as much in November. So he can say to the people out there, listen, I tried to do something about the border. The Republicans wouldn't work with me. So now I'm doing it myself. My whole question would be, if you needed the Republicans to, didn't need the Republicans to work with you, why didn't you do it yourself earlier?
Yeah.
So that is, I try, I know we call balls and strikes.
Right.
As I see them here, and I know you guys do too. Sometimes when I have to call strikes on Republicans, it, you know, makes people upset. But you have to call balls and strikes the way you see them. And I'm just telling you, if Biden wins, you can forget. You talk about open borders, there will be no borders.
That's right.
There'll be no. There almost isn't now, but there'll be nothing. So if that's what America wants, then Biden's your man.
You can get it.
Biden's your
you,
man.
You can have that
if
reality.
If that matters to you.
Yeah.
Okay? And I know there are multiple issues to consider in elections, but that's, you can't control your borders. That has to be near the top, seems to me. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.